After the First World War, many Australian veterans settled in the Campion region of Western Australia to become farmers on land provided by the government. It was there they encountered an enemy far more clever than any which they encountered in Europe. They fought this enemy with state-of-the-art weapons and vehicles, yet it still wasn't enough to ensure victory. Learn more about the Great Emu War on this episode of Everything Everywhere Daily. This episode is sponsored by Expedition Unknown. Did you know that there's proof that Robin Hood may have been a real person using underground passageways in England to rob the rich? Or that gold coins discovered on the beaches of Florida may be connected to a Spanish treasure fleet that sank in 1715? On the Expedition Unknown podcast from Discovery, Josh Gates travels the world to investigate history's greatest unsolved mysteries. He'll take you through Russia and Germany looking for stolen objects of great value pillaged by the Nazis during World War II, to Nepal to uncover mysterious caves high up in the mountains, or Peru to uncover the meaning behind giant geoglyphs drawn in the earth hundreds of years ago. With direct audio from the hit TV show, you'll hear Gates explore stories like the disappearance of Amelia Earhart in the South Pacific and the location of Captain Morgan's treasure in Panama. Travel the globe with Josh Gates as he investigates some of humanity's greatest feats and most iconic legends. Listen to Expedition Unknown wherever you get your podcasts. This episode is sponsored by Newspapers.com, your passport to untold stories and hidden histories. As the largest online newspaper archive, Newspapers.com offers an incredible journey through time, with papers dating back to 1690. Imagine exploring the news, events, and everyday moments that shape the history of the world around us. Newspapers.com puts over 900 million pages at your fingertips, offering a front row seat to the past. With papers from the United States, United Kingdom, Canada, Australia, and beyond, Newspapers.com lets you walk the streets of history, whether it's London during the Blitz, New York during Prohibition, or Sydney during the construction of the Harbor Bridge. For listeners of today's episode, Newspapers.com is extending a special offer. Use the code EVERYTHINGEVERYWHERE and enjoy a 20% discount on a subscription. That's EVERYTHINGEVERYWHERE at Newspapers.com. It's the perfect way to unlock the world of history. This episode is sponsored by Brilliant.org. Brilliant's mission is to inspire and develop people to achieve their goals in STEM. One person, one question, and one small commitment to learning at a time. They enable great teachers to illuminate the soul of math, science, and engineering through bite-sized interactive learning experiences. Their courses explore the laws that shape our world, elevating math and science from something to be feared to a delightful experience of guided discovery. If you're interested in learning more about any STEM subject, go to everything-everywhere.com/brilliant. Once again, that's everything-everywhere.com/brilliant. If you haven't been to Australia, it's a really big country. It's approximately the size of the continental United States, but with the population of Florida and Kentucky combined. One of the reasons the population density is so low is, one, it's far away from everything, and two, the vast majority of the country is a giant desert. The Australian government created a program in 1915 to settle military veterans in farmland owned around the country. By 1920, they had purchased over 200,000 acres of land and had settled down about 5,000 soldiers, but they still needed more land. They ended up settling soldiers in some of the marginal land in the southwest corner of Australia called the Campion District. This land was given with the intent that the veterans would grow wheat. The problem was, this land was really marginal. Not only was the land marginal for growing wheat, but almost none of the veterans had experience farming. On top of all that, come 1929, the Great Depression hit, which caused global wheat prices to plummet. However, all of these problems paled in comparison to what appeared in 1932. Emus. Lots of emus. Emus have been a part of the Australian landscape for many thousands of years. And if you don't know what an emu is, it's basically the Australian version of an ostrich, but a little smaller. Without knowing, the ranchers and farmers in the region had inadvertently created a paradise for emus. Emus, unlike ostriches, actually require a lot of water. The arid conditions of the Australian outback provided a natural check against the growth of the emu population. Ranchers created watering holes and watering troughs for their sheep, which were also used by the emus, allowing their population to explode. The wheat farmers were basically growing emu food. The emus loved wheat. Not only did the emu population explode, but they traveled in groups. There was a giant herd, flock? Wait a second. What do you call a group of emus? There was a giant mob of emus, 20,000 strong, which would trample the wheat fields and destroy fencing, which kept the rabbits out, which was also necessary. Basically, the emus were ruining everything for the farmers, and the farmers wanted to do something about it. These farmers, if you remember, were all military veterans, so they took their complaints to the Australian Minister of Defense, Sir George Pearce. Having served in World War I, these men had seen the weapons of war, and they had a proposal for the minister as to how to take care of the emu threat. Machine guns. In particular, the Lewis gun. Their plan was to take a machine gun, mount it on a car, drive to the mob of emus, and then just machine gun them all down. Now, not being an expert in emu eradication, if someone came to me with the idea of machine gunning down a giant mob of emus, I would think that such a plan would work. I grant you, maybe it's a bit overkill, but as far as achieving the goal of emu elimination, I would have bet money that the machine gun all the emus plan would have probably worked. The government actually approved the plan, if for no other reason than the publicity. Western Australia was in the middle of a popular secession movement, and the government wanted to look like they were doing something. They even sent a film crew along to document the Great Emu War. The emu culling was supposed to begin in October of 1932, but due to rain, it was held off until November. A small military unit equipped with two Lewis machine guns and 10,000 rounds of ammunition were sent out. On November 2nd, they had their first engagement with the enemy. They found a mob of 50 emus at a distance and fired. Unfortunately, they were too far away and they only got about a dozen of them. 2 days later, there were reports of another mob of emus of about 1,000 birds near a dam. They positioned themselves for an ambush, but this time the gun got jammed. They got about a dozen more. For the rest of the week, they set out to get more emus, but they had very little luck. The emus would see them coming from a distance and then just scatter. By November 8th, only somewhere between 50 and 200 emus were killed at an expense of 2,500 bullets. One ornithologist named Dominic Cervantine noted, quote, "The machine gunner's dreams of point-blank firing into serried masses of emus was soon dissipated. The emu command had evidently ordered guerrilla tactics, and its unwieldy army soon split up into innumerable small units that made use of the military equipment uneconomic. A crestfallen field force, therefore, withdrew from the combat area after about a month." End quote. The emu war had become a laughingstock in Parliament. One minister from New South Wales inquired if a medal would be given out to the soldiers who took part. Another minister from Western Australia responded that if awards were to be given out, they should be given to the emus, who won all the battles. Later that month, a second campaign was launched, which was about as successful as the first. Basically, the Great Emu War of 1932 was pretty much a failure. Machine guns really weren't that effective. Major G.P.W. Meredith, the leader of the expedition, said, quote, "If we had a military division with the bullet-carrying capacity of these birds, it would face any army in the world. They can face machine guns with the invulnerability of tanks." End quote. While the organized military opposition to the emus failed, the farmers did manage to inflict heavy casualties on the emu population in later years. Rather than use the military, the Australian government just instituted a bounty system where the farmers were responsible for the eradication themselves. In 1934, for example, over a six-month period, 57,034 emus were killed. Eventually, better fencing solved most of the emu problems for the farmers. Today, the emu is still on the Australian coat of arms, and there are approximately 650,000 emus in Australia. So, for those of you following along at home, the score still remains: emus 1, Australia nothing. The associate producer of Everything Everywhere Daily is Thor Thompson. If you'd like to support the show, please donate over at patreon.com. There is content only available to supporters, merchandise, and even opportunities for a show producer credit. If you know someone you think would enjoy the show, please share it with them. Also remember, if you leave a 5-star review, I'll read your review on the show.